So Shades of Green welcomes you today here on Campus FM 103.7, and this is the only program that shows you all the shades of our environment. And I'll remind you that this program is broadcast for you every Tuesday at 14:30 with a repeat on Fridays at 20:00. And this is Vanessa. As always, I hope you're all feeling fine. Well, today the program is slightly different. We've taken slight case studies. We've taken different issues. We've spoken about the environment, but social economy, about fair trade, about marine environment, about trees, about agriculture. Today, I did something different. What I did was that I attended a press conference held at the edible oil company in Malta that spoke about a very different kind of product. It's called biodiesel. Now, let me explain a bit about this edible oil company and about the biodiesel in itself. I'll start with the Edible Oil, which is a company established in 1954 in a partnership between Maltese entrepreneurs and a Danish company dealing in fats and oils called Aros. So, well, in 42 years, they have produced an extensive range of multinational Unilever for local and export markets. And as they describe themselves, Edible Oil are a local firm with global alliances, a people business, with experience in exports of future markets. And at the Edible Oil, I spoke with Mr. Pip Popsiler, who's the shareholders, company commercial director and company secretary. And today, in fact, I'll also tell you that I attended a press conference where present were Dr. Harry Vassallo, who's chairperson of the Alternativa Democratica, and Dr. Arnold Cassola, who's secretary general for European Greens. They have spoken to us about the edible oil, about this biodiesel. Well, what is biodiesel? Biodiesel has been produced following 2 years of research and development and pilot runs. And incredibly, this biodiesel is a product which emerges from fats and oils. This uses waste cooking oils and fats to produce this fuel, this biodiesel. It is a renewable fuel produced from oils and fats of both vegetable and animal origin. You know, you all know, well, what about the advantages for this? You all know that petroleum diesel exhaust emissions are carcinogenic and both cause and aggravate heart and respiratory problems. But biodiesel emissions are virtually free of risk to human health. This has been tested, it has been researched, and it's also, well, it's also proven. In June 2000, representatives of the US Congress announced that biodiesel had become the first and only alternative fuel to have successfully completed the Tier 1 and Tier 2 health effects testing required of the Clean Air Act amendments of 1990. Well, the results of the health effects testing did conclude that biodiesel is non-toxic, biodegradable and poses no threat to human health. And in fact, from this testing, some findings emerged. And for example, these are quite interesting. The overall ozone smog forming potential of the hydrocarbon exhaust emissions is 50% less from biodiesel. The exhaust emissions of carbon monoxide, which is a poisonous gas and a contributing factor in the localized formation of smog, is also 50% lower. The exhaust emissions of particulate matter, those that contribute to respiratory diseases, from biodiesel are 30% lower. And the exhaust emissions of sulfur oxides and sulfates are completely eliminated with biodiesel. The exhaust emissions of hydrocarbons, which are a contributing factor in the localized formation of smog and ozone, are 95% lower. And the exhaust emissions of aromatic compounds, which are suspected of causing cancer, are substantially reduced for biodiesel compared to that of diesel. And in fact, these reductions amount from 75% till 90%. And now let's listen in on the press conference.
A project which we've been working on for the last couple of years. It is has many implications for the environment, because it is a project which helps the environment in two areas. Number one, we are collecting used cooking oils, which otherwise will be disposed of in the environment. And secondly, with these cooking oils, we are processing them at the edible oil refinery to produce biodiesel. Biodiesel is a much more environmentally friendly form of fuel. And in 2005, there should be 2% of all the diesel should be biodiesel, according to European Union norms.
First of all, this is something which has been worked on for the past 3 years, first with some research, field work and laboratory testing, and then finally actually having field testing on various vehicles. We currently use it here in Malta, primarily we as promoters, in light and heavy vehicles, where we have motor vehicles and even trucks and things like that being used. Industry, in boilers, and even in marine, for marine purposes, in marine engines. The project is a win-win, as we say, for the environment, because number one, it's relieving the pressure of the affluent of which goes into the drainage system of the used oils, which up to today, the culture here, especially in Malta, is to just throw them and dispose of them in the normal sewage system, notwithstanding a legal notice which does not permit this for the last 14 years. But we know what enforcement is like. And it's a cradle-to-grave concept because you start at origin with an oil and then you reprocess it into a biodegradable product, which is completely changed from its original state. Very important is that this is one of the first projects that we can use a natural resource in-house. As we know, Malta is very sparse in natural resources. We don't have many. And this is one medium through which we can actively and efficiently convert a waste material into a positive energy, a positively cleaner energy. We seem to be amongst the four runners in Europe because 65% of the 25 member states within a couple of weeks' time do not have such an industry. We at the Edible Oil, we pride ourselves at being very forward-looking. In the 50s, we started an oil refinery when oil was being given to Malta under the CARE agreement with the United States free of charge. And here again today in 2004, we have a product which is quite unique in its way. We need a team effort. All the people who have a role to play need to recognize the national priority. So far, we have people like WasteServe who have helped a lot in creating an awareness and in creating the mechanics to get this project off the ground. The MHRA, who have endorsed our project and are selling it to its members. But all we need much more. We need things like other countries have, our partners in Europe have. They have proposed a differentiated tax regime. They have included certification. They have included audit trails for the hotel business, whereby licenses are issued on a yearly basis after certification of what happens to the waste that they generate themselves. Public transport is converted on biodiesel. In city and built-up areas, they don't allow certain areas to have fossil diesel. But most important is that this is not something optional. This is something which is a part of our accession treaty obligations. Come 1st January of next year, Malta has committed that 2% of its fossil diesel, which is thousands of tons, has to be replaced by a biofuel, and biodiesel is one of these. We have a plant capacity to produce 12,000 tons, which is a very large plant. It costs millions of lire to have a plant like this, and there's been quite an extensive investment in it, and the product which is ultimately produced has a very high added value. It creates jobs all down the line because you have the collection, the separation, the waste management, our own employment, the peripheric part of industry which has to support us. And job creation is certainly a high priority in this equation. There's the environment, which this project obviously addresses. And apart from that, it also reduces the pressure on our fuel bill, which we know we import, by about £1.2 million per year, seeing yesterday's quoted prices of the current fossil diesel. We would like that, we always speak about Malta having a very strong culture, strong history, strong heritage, very strong folklore. But I think the future generations need to have a cleaner environment. Our guarantee to a safe future is certainly environmentally related. And here this project presents this on a plate to everybody. Everybody can help in his own little way, be it at household level, be it at industry level. Everybody can be have a part of the stake. This is not just the edible oil refinery. This needs a national consciousness. It needs an effort by the nation. Everybody needs to identify himself with this project. It was very interesting a couple of days ago in one of the leading newspapers, English newspapers, how 10 member states are getting wrapped over pollution laws. This is the type of treatment we're going to get after the 1st of January if we're not going to comply. And we have to be conscious about this, that there's no free ride. We have obligations to meet, and we have to meet them. A final thing I'd like to say is people pay a lot of lip service about performance and not. Well, we have put a document at your disposal here, which is the VRT test about on our vehicles. Our vehicles are not new vehicles, so they will have quite a bit of carbon in it. But just for you to know, the VRT pass rate on the K value, which is the carbon value, is 2.5. Our vehicles, which are run on biodiesel, have 0.17, 0.19, 0.05, and 0.01. These are tests which were conducted in the last week. There's the garage where they come from. You can verify them. You can ask the man every time we send our trucks to him. He's amazed at the low carbon level that our trucks emit. I know we've all experienced the trauma of driving behind one of our buses or one of our trucks. You literally need the gas mask. We have a solution. And if we work towards it, I'm sure we can make it work.
And also present at the press conference, there was Dr. Harry Vassallo, who's the chairperson of the Alternativa Democratica. And he also speaks about the importance of creating environmentally friendly as well as economically viable resources. He emphasises on support needed for such projects and, most importantly, in the employment sector. He praises edible oil extensively for the implementation of this project. Let's hear what he has to say.
Basikamente, aħna ridna niġuaw għax għarafna li dan huwa proġett ta' valur partikolari. Studju li sar mill-Unjoni Ewropea juri illi jekk Malta tonqos milli tadotta direttivi dwar l-ambjent, Malta titlef bejn 10 u 50 miljun lira fis-sena. Dak huwa telf potenzjali. Jekk aħna nadottaw u nimplementaw dawn id-direttivi, mhux biss ma nitilfux dawn il-flus, iżda bħal dan il-proġett minn skart jirnexxina noħolqu valur partikolari.
Present with Dr. Harry Vassallo, there was also Dr. Arnold Cassola, who's the Secretary General of the European Greens. He also mentions the employment sector and the need for more openings in this field. He speaks about the relevance of this project to the environment, to the energy resource, to waste management and sustainability. Here he goes.
Ħafna drabi aħna l-politiċi ma jinnexxilniex nikkonvinċu lin-nies fuq kif l-ambjent jista' effettivament ikun imħares imma joħloq ukoll ix-xogħol u jgħin l-ekonomija Maltija. L-ewwel waħda qed innaqsu mit-tniġġis. U din hija l-ewwel ħaġa. U anzi qed inħallsu in-nies biex inħallsuhom talli ma jħanġux. Dan huwa inċentiv enormi. It-tieni għandek il-ħolqin tal-enerġija. Jiġifieri affarijiet li minn flok qed jispiċċaw fid-dranaġġ tagħna qed jispiċċaw jerġgħu jintużaw. Et sostituzzjoni ta' enerġija qed innaqsu mill-energy bill tal-pajjiż ukoll. Waste management kif qedna u naħseb importanti wkoll il-kwistjoni li s-sena d-dieħla aħna suppost għandna se nibdew nibnu l-ewwel żewġ impjanti tagħna ta' tisfija tal-ilma, il-waste water treatment plants. Wieħed se jkun imħallas nofsu mill-Unjoni Ewropea u l-ieħor f'Għawdex nofsu mill-protokoll Taljan. Issa da żjud ma jistgħux jgħaddu minn dan l-impjant. Hekk aħna rridu noħolqu second class water li hu tajjeb għall-agrikoltura.
And after the press conference, I met with Mr. Pippo Psyla, where I asked him some questions. The first question I asked him was about the plans for collection.
Well, basically, there are two target markets that we need to address. The first one is the industrial and catering, and the second is the household. On the industrial and the catering side, we have various means to collect the spent oils, the used cooking oils from the outlets. One is either directly when we deliver oil, where we deliver oil, our delivery team collects the oil from the catering establishment concerned. Or alternatively, we have a contractor who goes around various outlets and he collects whatever there is to be collected. A third possibility from this side is that people who have a stock of oil and they want to dispose of it in the correct way, they can always ring up our sales office and or helpline. We have a free phone service and they can contact us through this way and we will make arrangements to collect.
Okay, Mr. Psyla, and how will the community be involved?
Yes, they have to be involved. Now, this is a partnership. There are many stakeholders. There's the government side who has to provide adequate legislative and infrastructural support. We don't want direct support from government. We're not asking for funds. We're not asking for grants. But there is a role to be played. There's a role regarding the tax regime, which is on these products throughout the world, but especially in the European Union. There is a different and separate tax regime from that applicable to all other fuels and all other products which come under the excise law of each country. Then another stake player is obviously the tourist, the industry, both generic industry and more specifically the tourist industry. And finally, we also have a very, very important aspect is the importance of the man in the street. Here we have to mobilize everybody. Number one, to create an awareness. And this demands a redefinition of certain values. Whereas today, people are prone to dispose of their used cooking oil simply by flushing it down the drain. We need to re-educate people in the right way to handle this product, this harmful product, in the correct way. And apart from the educational side, we then have to put in place the mechanisms, the mechanics, for the housewife to be able to, in the most easy way and the most effective way, to bring the oil in centers, at depots, in places where we then can collect this used oil. We don't expect the housewife to travel to Marsa with her used oil because it's not convenient for her. But all we have to set up and put in place a collection system which is compatible with the requisites of the household. So basically here we need to target the we need to mobilize everybody to join this on a team project basis. And then we have to put in place the infrastructure and the tools so that we have an effective system of collection and distribution.
So when will this project be able to be implemented on a national scale?
From the technical side, from the expertise side, from the production side, it's in full swing. It's a full commercial production. There's no more research. I mean, obviously, things are evolving, new issues emerging, but we are on stream. From the catering side, that's pretty much in place. We have the MHRA, who are another important stakeholder. A constituted body like the MHRA have an important role to play. They're on board. They have circulated to their members what we're doing, how we're doing, and what they should be doing to follow and to help in this national scheme. We have put in place with all our clientele a collection system where we've advised them that we're paying 3.5 cents per litre of used oil that they will return. We have advertised in the newspapers for a whole week to all catering establishments, and that means everything which has to do with the tourist industry, that we are collecting oil, that we're paying for the oil, and that we have a system in place to ensure the collection of this oil. So from the industrial side, we think that we've tackled the issue quite extensively, and we've put it in place nicely. The production is in full swing. We can produce 12,000 tons a year. We've also tackled Enemalta, because Enemalta is an important and a key player in this. They have an important stake in this. We know that on the 1st of January of next year, 2005, the European Union will be expecting Malta to replace 2% of its fossil diesel with a biofuel. Biofuel, namely something like biodiesel. This is our part of our accession obligation, and we have to conform to it. There's not a choice. We subscribe to this and we have to follow it as one of our commitments. Other countries have gone about it, because obviously they've done it way before Malta, by the feedstock of these petroleum, of these fossil fuels, already being blended with the biodiesel. Some countries, like in Germany, where there's a very high consciousness for the environment and there's a very high educational base, where the consumers are very aware about what's going on, they even have separate pumps. You go to the petrol station and you can pick up just biodiesel as biodiesel. Other countries where they didn't think the infrastructure could handle it, and the investment, the capital investment to have these separate pumps and these things justified it, they blend it in with their fossil fuel, but at the pump they tell you that this is a blend of biodiesel and fossil diesel.
And what are the future plans?
From the consumer side, we're in the process of producing a leaflet, which will be distributed to all households. Okay, there'll be a mail shot to all households, and it will advise them, number one, what biodiesel is all about. Number two, the steps we are putting in place to ensure a rapid and effective collection system. One of the projects that we are earmarking to facilitate for the housewife, the stocking of her used oil and bringing it back, is by moving to a glass bottle. Number one, this will alleviate around 6 to 8 million plastic bottles from the market, which is a headache to administer and to recycle and to dispose of. But number two, it will also be very cost effective. Why? Because the housewife, when she buys her oil in the glass bottle, will pay a deposit. And then when she brings the bottle back to redeem the deposit, we will also entice her to put the oil inside the bottle, because she will have a cap and she will have everything ready. And we'll also pay her, besides the deposit she gets for the empty bottle, she will also get a financial incentive, like a kickback, for the oil she will bring back to us. So basically, the idea is that the housewife will be assisting, from a national perspective, the reduction of plastic and the returning of the oil in the glass bottle. These are the main core initiatives that we think we will have in place. A lot depends as well on where government is going with this eco-contribution or eco-tax, which was announced at the last budget. All countries have a two-tier system of eco-taxation, which at the fundamental root will always give an added advantage to recyclable or reusable items. Now we hope, and that's why we're waiting to see how this is going to evolve in terms of the tax regime concern, that on glass there will be a different and a differentiated lower rate of taxation, which will enable us to invest, because there's a very heavy capital investment, on the machines to wash the crates, wash the bottles, recycle the bottles. It's a complete line that we need. But obviously we need to know where we stand, and until we have a clear indication of how this eco-contribution, this eco-tax, is going to in fact work, we can't take these strategic commercial decisions.
And that is all for today from us here at Shades of Green. Once again, I'm Vanessa. Thank you for being there and staying tuned. In the meantime, I remind you, same time, same frequency. Bye-bye and take good care.